The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
That's good. Thank you, ladies. Good. Hey, by the way, if you didn't find it in 1 Timothy, go to 2 Timothy, if you don't mind, and look at chapter 1, 2 Timothy, chapter 1. People are kind of going back and forth saying, well, it's not there. You're right, it's not. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and look at verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Let me reread it for emphasis' sake, if I may, now that we're in the right place, that is. The Bible says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Then he says this. He says, hold fast. Watch what he says. Hold fast. It says, the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you this morning on we are obligated. We are obligated, you know. The secretary of President Woodrow Wilson came to him one day and said, I suggest that you drop some of your work and take a diversion. You've been under a lot of stress, and so stop some of your work, just kind of drop it, take a diversion. He looked at her and said, I can't. My boss won't let me. And she came back with a question. She said, your boss? What do you mean your boss? You are the boss. I mean, you are the chief executive of the United States of America. You are the boss. He said, no, my boss is my conscience, and my conscience will not let me. Now, by the way, I like somebody that has character. You know, when I get around guys, you know, the Bible says that iron sharpeneth iron. And when you get around people that just have their iron sharpened, it has a tendency to sharpen you just a little bit more. And so here we see that the Apostle Paul is talking to that which is a young Timothy, and he says to that which is Timothy or Timotheus, he says to him, he says, now I want you to understand, he says, for I've been through these things, he said, but these things I've gone through, which is suffering, he said, has not caused me to back up in my belief, has not caused me to become ashamed in what I believe, but however, it's made me persuaded. He says, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against, watch what it says, that day. So he's already come through all these things in his life, and now he looks back and he says, well, you know, in coming through all these things, and you may have come through all these things in your life too. You may have gone through things that nobody else has gone through. You may have experienced things that nobody else has experienced. You may have had sufferings that nobody else quite can put a finger on and understand in your life. It's been totally different than somebody else's life. You may have gone through some financial reversals. You may be going through some things right now that nobody else understands. And you sit there by yourself in your 18 inches of pew, and you sit there and you almost kind of draw a circle around yourself. And if you're not careful, what would take place is it's a woe is me type of thing. But here what's Paul done, he has looked back is what he's done. And he's looked back at the past. And by the way, he has gone through some horrendous times. He has gone through times that I promise you, if you put yourself at Paul's present state and writing or penning these scriptures here, if you put yourself in your present state compared to where he was in his present state at the penning of this to Timothy, I would probably well promise you that he has gone through a whole lot more than what you're going through right now or have ever gone through. But yet Paul said this. He said, and looking back in retrospect at those things of which I've gone through, he said, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. He said, I've suffered these things, but nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know, now this is a key, whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Now, who's making the commitment? Paul. He said, now look, he said, I've gone through all these things, but I'm looking unto him. He's not looking at these things. By the way, if you look at the things that has caused you the most grief, I promise you'll become grievous. I promise you. If you just take and you're always looking at, well, this went wrong and this went wrong and this went wrong, and boy, I'm having trouble with this, and I can't believe I did this, and I can't believe that this is how I am, and look where I am today. If you spend all of your life looking back at the tragedies and the problems and the circumstances and the sufferings and the temptations and the things that have hit you broadside, you will never climb outside of your pit. You will always be inside of your pit. Now learn from the Apostle Paul. Here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, look, I've gone through all these sufferings. I've gone through all these things. But he said, I want you to know I'm not ashamed. So here's the things of the past. Here he is in the present. And he said, the things in the past, the sufferings of the past. He said, I want you to know that has no variance on me. He said, these things that's in the past, they're in the past. He said, let me tell you who I am today. I'm not ashamed. And then he says why he's not ashamed. Notice this. He says, for I know whom I have believed. So he goes from looking in that which is the past to stating who he is in the present. And the reason he is who he is in the present is because he's looking to the future. You know, you can get so wrapped up in the things of the past, you never go forward. Wait. You can get so wrapped up in the things of the present that you never go forward. Do you understand that you're fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you understand that your purpose in life, according to that which is Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11, is to be able to give God glory and to be able to fulfill God's will in your life? Do you realize that's why God created you? God did not create you to be in the pit, if you would please, of self-pity and self-pride and self-indulgence and always looking back. Well, you know, I've got a past. Can I tell you something? Just to be honest with you this morning, there's not a person sitting in this room that doesn't have a past. So I got a past. Well, that's pretty much a duh. Because everybody sitting in this room has a past. Now, some might have a fairly okay past, some might have a good past, some might have a bad past, but everybody has a past. But God doesn't want you to live in that which is the past. Can I help you out a little bit? God doesn't want you to be saturated, covered up, problematic, overwhelmed, destroyed because of the present. And so Paul, realizing who he was, realizing what age he was, realizing all the things that he came through, he said, here's what I want you to know. He said, I am persuaded. He said, you cannot unpersuade me. He said, I am persuaded. He said, nevertheless, I am persuaded. Now watch what he says. He said, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, he said. He said, in whom I have believed, he said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now, why is it that he has evidence that God can do it that day? Because he's already come from this day. And he's already come from this day. And he's already come from this day. You know, some of the biggest encouragements you have in your life is the prayers, not that you're praying, but the prayers that you did pray that God did answer. Because you can look back at that and you can say, okay, wait a minute. I remember the day I prayed that, and yes, God did. And I remember the day I prayed that, and yes, God did. And I remember the day that I prayed that, and yes, God did. And if you'll look back, that's a great encouragement. Because if you'll remember, if you trusted him during the times of despair, during the times of problems, during the times of loneliness, during the times of distress, if you trusted him during those times, he has never let you down. So here's what he says. Woodrow Wilson said, I tell you what, for conscience sake, I'm obligated. For conscience sake, I still need to step out. Now, by the way, I thank God for that testimony. He didn't go play golf because he, for conscience sake, couldn't do it. He was not trying to raise money for his party because, for conscience sake, he realized he was a president and he couldn't do it. He just decided he was going to remain in the seat of the office to be able to perform the task. Somebody said, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. That's an old saying. But can I tell you this, that all play and no work makes the work undone. So somebody's got to work. Somebody said, you know, I can't wait for TGIF. I can't wait for TGIF. What is TGIF? Thank God it's Friday. You know, but sometimes we need to just thank God that we have the ability to be able to do. My grandfather used to teach me, I'd say, how long are we staying out in the field? Baling hay, Grandpa. He'd say, we're going to bale it until the sun goes down. He said, because when the sun goes down, we don't make hay. Well, doesn't the Bible say work from the night cometh? So we need to be obligated about some things. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, the Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, it says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so what he says is this. He says, we're supposed to be wise. We're supposed to walk circumspectly. We're not supposed to let the evil days come around us. We're supposed to redeem the time. We're not supposed to be unwise. We are supposed to understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, what are some areas that you and I as believers in Christ ought to be obligated? Let me give you three of them this morning. Statement number one, we are obligated to men. We are obligated to men. You know, many years ago, it's because Dr. Shelton Smith went to a place called Westminster, Maryland, back in January of 1979, that I received Christ as my Savior in July of 1979. Because even as a young pastor with a 458-seat auditorium or so, he came in there with some fire, he came in there with some excitability, and he motivated a couple of people, just a couple to begin with, only a few. To begin with, to be able to go to some fairground that was called Reese's Carnival Ground, and because of that, I, as a young teenage boy, was in search of that. I've been religious all my life. I'd come up in religion all my life, and I was empty, and I was lonely, and I was walking in a carnival ground that night, and I was looking for something, and that night, a soul winner came by and told me about Christ. But it was simply because of the fact that, and so when I was preaching that SORT conference in Walkertown, what did I do? I spent some time with him. Why? Because I do owe him a debt. There's a debt that I owe. He was the one that God used instrumentally to motivate somebody to go do. And I'm saying this, that we're obligated to men. You know, men that need the gospel. Men that need to understand their need of Jesus Christ. It was January 13th, 2012. It was in Cordelia, which is, of course, a coastal town, Cordelia. And that was right outside, if you would please, of Italy. And so it was just a coastal type of city. And the ship that was heading there all of a sudden came in great distress, and it was going to sink. It made it to the shoreline, and when it made it to the shoreline, this 160-foot gash was in the side of the ship. Now understand, they made it to the shoreline. And all these passengers that was on the ship, there was 1,023 passengers, 3,229 passengers that was on the ship. There was 1,023 cruisemen. All of them were saved, but 32. Now why is it? Here was a ship, you understand, big old 160-foot gash in the side of the ship. They made it to the shoreline there of Italy. I mean, and it flops over on the side. Flops over on the side. And we're not talking about a ship that went down the water. We're not talking about a ship that got torpedoed. We're not talking about a ship that, like the Titanic, that hit the side of that ice and ripped it, and all of a sudden, all these many people out there in the icy, frigid waters. We're not talking about that. We're talking about here was a ship. They got a 160-foot gash on the side of it, started to take in water. They made it to the shoreline. I mean, they're right there. And 32 people died. Here's what they said. They said on that particular day, the survivors that could not escape the luxurious cruise line ship, the reason they lost their lives on that Saturday is because in the hallways there was such disorganization and such panic that there was people that died in the hallways of that ship because everybody was looking out, stay with it, for themselves. For themselves. Now, thank God for those that did help the children. I'm sure there was some. Thank God for those that let the women go first. Thank God, I'm sure there was some. But what a shame that here was a ship that everybody, if they would have paced themselves, everybody, if they would have took their time, everybody, if they would have been slightly organized, could have got off the ship safe, secure, and alive. But they did not get off the ship safe and secure and alive because somebody didn't feel obligated to help. I'm saying that here the Lord Jesus is using that which is Paul, and he's trying to emphasize that there's an obligation. Paul said this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. He said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. He says, both to the wise and to the unwise. He said, I am a debtor. So Paul said, I want you to know that I feel obligated to all men. And by the way, shouldn't it be that way? One of the things, I don't know if they've always done it, but one of the things I really enjoyed at the SWORD conference is the fact that on Thursday afternoon, no classes, and they got up and they said, today we go soul winning. I like that. Yeah, I like it when you set aside a time, and I had to go back to the hotel. I was working on this message, and then, of course, most of the preachers, you know, it's Friday, and we go out soul winning on Saturday. We had to travel back on Saturday, whatever, and so man, I went back to the hotel, and I started working on this message and was trying to get this message done, and I said, boy, I tell you what, I need to get out and go chase some people and talk to some people, and I went to the lobby area, and there was a man, he was having trouble getting checked in, and that was so good. Because he was stuck, and they were trying to run his card, and they couldn't figure out how to do it, and so I started to witness to him, and his teenage boy, he said, and daddy was getting kind of frustrated with the hotel people, and so he said, I got to go out to the car and get this other stuff, and I said, well, you mind if I talk to your son while you're out there? And so I took that 17-year-old boy over. I said, come on over here, buddy. Let's sit down on the couch. And so we went over there. We sat down on the couch. I cracked open my New Testament. I showed that boy his need of receiving Christ as Savior. He bowed his heart. He received Christ as Savior. Hey, by the way, he was happy. I was happy. God was happy. Everybody was happy. And I felt like for just a small moment there that I fulfilled some of the obligation that I had to manhood. Hey, can I tell you what? We are obligated to that which is man. It doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter where they came from. It does not matter what their educational status is. It does not matter how much money they've got in the bank. It does not matter what type of dilemmas that they come through. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. He is there for every single person. Amen. Hey, they covered on Fox News. I like to listen to Fox News. And so they covered on Fox News this morning as I was getting ready, shaving. I got an app. And so I turned to Fox News on. So while I'm shaving, and sometimes it's not good because, you know, you're down around here. I listen to Fox News. And as I listen to Fox News, here's what they said. They said that Texas, out of the five fastest growing cities that are in America, Texas has three of them. The other day I was talking to somebody, they said 10,000 people a month are moving to Dallas. There's more people moving to Dallas today than they have houses for. Now you might say, oh, preacher, that's called overcrowding. Man, I don't like it. But as a preacher of the gospel, I'm like a kid in a candy shop. Because I don't have to go chase them up in Michigan, and I don't have to go chase them up in New York. And hey, God's bringing them right here. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this, we're obligated to men. When you go out today, carry yourself a gospel tract and talk to people about Jesus Christ and give them that gospel tract. As you go eat, just leave it on the table. As you walk out the restaurant, just give somebody and say, read this. It'll change your life. I'm telling you, the gospel changes people, and it doesn't matter where you came from. And it doesn't matter. I thank God we have a church. Everybody's welcome. Doesn't matter the pigment of your skin. Doesn't matter if you walk slightly bent. It doesn't matter if you're undersized or oversized. We have a place. Hey, it's a place where we can take and fulfill our obligation. God has given you a mission field. The mission field. Oh, you don't have to go on foreign soil to be able to reach the world. You can reach the world right here, giving out the gospel right here. And we're obligated to men. So statement number one, I'm saying this, we're obligated like Paul felt that obligation. Statement number one, we are obligated to men. Statement number two, we're obligated to preaching. To preaching. Now I know churches have different things that goes on, I understand that. But my Bible says faith cometh, I want you to talk to me, ready? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of? You got to do better than that. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of? I don't want to join a church because they have good singing. Now, I thank God we have good singing. But, man, I don't want to join a church because they got good singing. I believe it or not, I don't want to join a church because everybody's friendly. Now, thank God we have friendly people in our church. Smile like goobers and shake hands. That's good. Now, thank God for that. Thank God we don't have a stuck-up church. Nobody's going to search your bank account to see if they want to be your friend. Nobody's going to come out and visit your house and see what type of house do you live in before they decide if you're good enough for them. They're not going to go out and examine your car to see what you drove here this morning. If they do, run them over. But here's what I do understand. I do understand this, that we're obligated to men and we're obligated to preaching. I see a coolness in America that bothers me. You know, people used to be excited about the house of God, used to be excited about preaching. Now they're more excited about ball games. Well, what's wrong with being excited about God? You know, listen to what the Bible says. Let me just give you a couple of verses. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, so as much as in me is, he says, I am ready to preach the gospel, says, to you that are at Rome also. Here's what Paul said, Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, or 16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for there's the power of God unto salvation. It says to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So there's nothing wrong. Preaching, what is preaching? Preaching is teaching set on fire. Now we have both in our church. Amen. The Bible says that a pastor ought to be apt to teach. So I fulfill my role as a Bible teacher on Wednesday nights. You like Bible teaching? And this kind of bothers you this morning, you come back on Wednesday nights, we'll roll good together. Because on Wednesday nights, it's Bible teaching. Sunday school is Bible teaching. You come to one of our Sunday school classes, if the teacher's doing right, it's not a preaching session. It's a teaching session. That's what it's established for. It's a teaching session. Now, you need both in your life. You need somebody that's going to take a Bible truth and stand up and say, "Yeah!" That's what God says. And he gets a little bit of juice behind him, at least to get up the hill. But then you also need some Bible teaching, where somebody walks up and says, "Now open your Bible. This morning we're going to study the book of Ephesians." The theme of the book of Ephesians is, the one that God used to pen, the book of Ephesians, is the whole circumference of that which is pertaining to the book. You need some Bible teaching, and that's what you got in Sunday school this morning as you learned about the book of Ephesians. All right, now wait a minute, watch this if you will. And so, but there has to be that preaching. There has to be. Now, that preaching is also getting it with excitability. Right. Now, you know, when the Bible says to go into all the world and preach the gospel, you're supposed to be excited about what you believe. So, you know, ladies, now don't get me wrong, you're not supposed to pastor a church. You don't qualify. You're supposed to be the husband of one wife. So you probably don't qualify. But can I tell you this? Watch this, if you will. You are supposed to go out just like the men are and be excited about giving out the gospel. We're supposed to be excited about that. Don't be a deadhead. Oh, come on. I like going to ball games sometimes. Especially when our kids play. I like to see them. They do a good job, and so I like going to ball games. Now why? And I like to watch people get excited about the ball game, especially when there are little kids out there playing. You know, they get excited, and they come apart. Or, no, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. Okay, they're excited about something that's taking place because that means something. Stay with me. That means something to them. Well, cannot we get excited about the Word of God because that means something to us? Now, I'm not going to apologize for who I am.
Amen.
I'm not going to do it. These guys I preached with at that Sword of the Lord conference, some of them got up and they stayed right behind the pulpit. That's good. Some of them got up and they walked over this way just a wee bit. And then they walked over this way just a wee bit. And that's good. And then I got up and I did some walking too. You know, here's what I loved about what happened this week. Everybody was themselves. Nobody tried to be anybody different. And the guy that stood behind the pulpit did just as great of a job as the guy that went out from the pulpit and the guy that walked down front. They all did super jobs. Because it's not the deliverer that's important. It's the what's being delivered that's important. Well, you know, preacher, I go to church and sometimes I'm bored. Well, don't be bored. Matter of fact, if you read that Bible during the week, you'll be less bored. Because when you come to church, you'll be wanting more, not less. Come on. You know, a healthy person eats often. Joey Massara went with me on the trip. And we got to the, we left the hotel, I think 5 a.m. or something like that. Got up about 4 or so. And so we left the hotel and drove over to the North Carolina airport thingamadiggin. And so as soon as we got there and we got checked in, I said, man, I'm hungry. I said, let's go get something to eat. And so we got something to eat. We boarded the plane, landed in Atlanta. I said, Joey, I'm hungry. Get something to eat. And so then we got on the plane, left Atlanta and flew into Dallas. First thing I said to my wife, after I said, I love you, I'm glad I'm back. And she said, I love you. And Rebecca said, and they picked us up. And I said, hey, let's go eat. Where do you want to go eat? So that's unnatural. That's not unnatural for any man. You ladies, you say, well, I tell you what, I know where to go because Walmart. Us men, we say, we know where to go. We don't judge our distance by time. We judge our distance by eating stations. That's what we do. All right? Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. Here's what we understand. We understand. He said, I'm obligated to the preaching. Here's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. The Bible says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever command you. And though I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 15, the Bible says, but sanctify, it says, the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man. The answer that it says that asketh, it says, you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, here's what he's saying. He's saying that you and I need to be ready to give an answer. So we ought to be ready to give out the gospel. The gospel has the power to change a life. It's the gospel that changes. Now, if you're looking for a soul-winning church, you found it. God bless you. We'd like to introduce you to Parkside Baptist Church. But it's a soul-winning church. You know why? Because there's people that need the gospel. There's people that need to understand that Jesus Christ shed his blood, died, went to the grave, and rose victorious over the sin, death, and the devil. And he did it for you and I. And it's because of the gospel. You and I are here today, and we need to get out the gospel and to give that gospel in an exciting way. It was North Pacific. There lies an island. It's called Iwo Jima. It's filled for volcanic ash. This island. There was 21,000 casualties in our war with Japan that gave their lives to be able to rescue, if you will, that island and also for liberty. Now, why is it that such men, did they believe in the cause? I don't know. Did they believe in the cause? I don't know. Did they believe that they should be fighting on such an island? I don't know. Did they believe that as one would take a bullet and would lay there dying and blood would be spewing out, did he believe that this was a mistake? I don't know. But I know they fought. Amen. And I know they went. Amen. And I know they went without excuse and they did not run. Amen. And can I tell you that you and I are obligated when it comes to preaching? Oh, come on. Let's get back to the way it should be. Let's get back to where we come to church. And we come to church to get in, not to get out. Amen. Well, preacher, you know what time it is? Well, according to my time right here, North Carolina time, it's 10 till 1. But I hadn't changed my watch back yet, so don't faint. But can I tell you something? If I wasn't a preacher, I'd still come to church. And if I had a preacher that would stand up behind the pulpit, if I had a preacher that would walk back and forth, if I had a preacher that would run, if I had a preacher that would spit, or I had a preacher that would not spit, if I had a preacher that was dynamic, or I had a preacher that was kind of monotone, if I had a preacher that would crack open the Bible and with great excitement, he said, "Oh, I can't wait to tell you what God has. Oh, it's going to be so good." Or if I had a preacher and said, "Let me tell you what I got out of my Bible today, you're going to like it." No matter who he is, I think I would still come. You know why? Because somebody needs to support the truth. We complain about our nation, don't we? We do. We say, "Well, they're doing a sorry job in Washington, D.C. How you doing in your hometown? "Well, I'll tell you what, I wish my neighbor would." What are you doing? You know, your neighbors, you ought to have such a vibrant testimony for Jesus Christ that they know what time it is and they set their watches because they know that you're leaving for church. And they can set their watches by you because they know that you're faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Obligated to preaching. "Well, preacher, I don't always get something out of it." Because you don't always look. You go to church, you'll find what you want to do. Come on now, come on, come on, come on, come on. All right, come here, Marcus. Watch this if you'll. You come on up here. You go to church, you can find what you want to find. You can go to church, you can see this gentleman walking down the hallway, and you can say, "Boy, he's outstanding. Look at that tie. Woo! Sharp!" Or you could say, "Man, boy, I tell you what, that boy needs work on his smile. I saw it, he's got three hairs out of place. His mama probably didn't do that this morning for him. He probably did all by himself. His fingernail is dirty on the end." You can find what you want to find. Now, I'm just being honest. You go to Walmart, thank you. You can go to Walmart and this dear lady, she's up there at the cash register, you know. And she's up there and she's had a bad day. Now, because she's had a bad day, if you want to, you can let her make you have a bad day. Or you could take that thing and say, "I'm going to try and help her have a good day." Amen. See, you're either controlled by or you control. Amen. Wait, stay with me a little bit. You are either obedient or disobedient. Now, I don't know about you, but when it's talking about being obligated to that which is the truth, the preaching of the Word of God, here's what I want to feel obligated. I want to feel obligated. Obligated to that which is man, obligated to preach. Let me give you one last thing and I'm done. Obligated to faith. Here it is. I'm almost done. I'll read you two verses. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith," watch it, "from faith to faith." The Bible says, "As it is written, the just shall live by faith." So I'm obligated to live by faith. Yes. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, "For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now I'm saying this, I'm saying that there needs to be some people that will say this, "I'm obligated to faith." Let me tell you what faith is. Two little girls sitting on the backside of a wagon. One girl says to the other girl, "I've got more pennies than you do." The other girl says, "No, you don't. I've got more pennies than you do." That first girl says, "No, I've got 5 pennies. How many do you have?" The second girl said, "I've got 10 pennies. She said, show me. She said, well, show me. First girl pulls out her 5 pennies. Proof. The other girl pulls out her pennies, and it's only 5. She said, you lied to me. You only got 5 pennies, just like I got 5 pennies. She said, no, I've got a daddy, and my daddy said, he's giving me 5 pennies at lunchtime. I've got 10. Because she had faith in her father. Now, may I say, what we do with the Word of God depends on all. There was a fellow by the name of Charles Keatonley. And he was the engineer that was the industrial pioneer, if you would please, for being an independent inventor. Later, of course, he became the General Motors chief executive, if you would please, in the area of research. But this man, he would go around and he would tell people all the time, he would say, I'm not going to hire you unless the job has you and you do not have the job. He said, I want people to work for me that is not a person that owns the job, but a person that is owned by the job. He said, when you get up in the morning, he said, I want you to be able to be excited about work. When you go to bed at night, you're excited about work. He said, I want to hire people only that own the job, if you would please, and they give everything that they have to the job, to the job. They eat it. They drink it. Everything they do is about the job. Now, may I say, that's okay about a job, but may I say, we ought to be that way about our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, there's just something. There's just something about everywhere you go, allowing God to work in you and through. There's just something about it's fun. It's just fun. Had a guy sitting beside me and his nose was running. Well, that wasn't the fun part. But his nose was running and he kept sneezing. I was thankful he didn't sneeze on me. But I said, boy, you sound like you're kind of sick. Because I travel so much, they put me up, they promoted me up that first class thing, and so I'm sitting up there, and his nose is running. And I said, you sound like you're kind of sick. He said, oh, I'm not feeling good. I said, well, man, I hope you don't die. He said, well, I don't think it's that bad. I said, well, you never know. He said, you're not encouraging me. I said, I want to. I said, let me tell you what a person needs to understand and do in order to go to heaven. Because we have the Bible says that we have no promise of tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That's what the Bible teaches. So you don't know when you're going to die. The Bible says in 1 Samuel that there's just but a step between life and death. And you don't know when you'll take your last step. So let me talk to you a little bit. He said, oh, never mind. He said, I'm already a Christian. I said, you are. I said, how'd you become a Christian? We sat on that plane. We had good fellowship. He said, let me tell you, when I was a young man, I was attending camp, and he said, this preacher came through there, and he preached, and he said, I understood the Christ was the only way, and I bowed my heart and received Christ as Savior.
Amen.
He said, I'm already a Christian. And I thought, man. Because you just like... Now, I'm glad he was saved. I'm not saying man about that. I'm glad he was saved. But I wanted to be able to share. I wanted to see him receive Christ. You know, and you know, you just, it's a natural thing. It's just a natural thing. And by the way, it ought to be natural with you. We ought to have a sense of obligation. An obligation, if you will, please, to be able to make sure that men have their needs met. Ladies have their needs met. And help them. Obligation to preach that gospel and to give out that gospel of Christ. An obligation, if you will, please, for our faith to continue to grow. Continue to grow. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. So the more that we get in us. Okay, you ever see somebody? I'm done. Here it is. You ever see somebody? It's just they're a salesman. And buddy, do they believe in their product? I mean, they believe in their product. I mean, every time you sit down and talk to them, let me tell you about this vitamin. This vitamin will change your life. If you take this simple supplement, you'll live to be 102. They believe in their product. They do. They believe in their product. You ever see a salesman that's a car salesman? He believes in his product. You know, man, walking down the hallway, let me tell you about this new car. We just got on the lot. Boy, it's a beauty. Woo-hoo! Anybody gets that? They're going to feel like they're riding on the cloud. Believes in their product. You ever see a man that's just happily married, and when he's away from his wife, he just talks about her a lot? Boy, I tell you, I'm happily married. I was up in North Carolina, and boy, I was talking to different preachers. Boy, let me tell you about, what my wife's doing. What's your wife doing? You know, and how's your kids? And we're talking about back and forth. All right, now, you know, when you love your kids, you talk about them a lot. Hello. You know, when you have a friend, and a friend is a help, talk about them a lot. When you have a job that you love, you talk about it. Why can't we be that way for the Lord? Hey, I got one for you. Why can't we be that way about church? Boy, you ought to come to Parkside Baptist Church. Why can't we be so excited about the things of God that honestly it makes a difference in somebody else's life? Because it could.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.